Good morning. We want to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service here at Beach Hill. We want to also welcome those people who are joining us by Zoom. Hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and didn't eat too much. We will certainly be having our Sunday evening worship service here tonight at 5 o'clock. So we want to welcome the visitors who are here this morning and welcome you back at any opportunity you may have to join us. We will have our midweek Bible study on Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We want to welcome Miss Sandra Wilkerson back. She had two stents put in Oxford on Tuesday. She came home and is recovering, and lo and behold, she's in her regular place over here to my left with us, and it's so good to see you, Miss Sandra, and we'll continue to pray for you as you have some upcoming surgeries as well. We want to express our sympathy to Jeff Green on the passing of his uncle, Mr. Jimmy Hill. Visitation and grace service were held this past Wednesday. We want to continue to pray for Miss Ann Hopper, the mother of Joab Hopper. We want to remember Miss Gail Winter and Don Moody, who remain patients at the Tippecanoe Health and Rehab. We also want to keep Miss Shirley Estes and all those on our sick list in mind. Good to see Dr. Simpson here with us, who had a little surgery, and he looks well, looks like he's on the path to recovery. Good to see you, Doc. We have some thank yous that I want to read to you. I want to thank my church family for the beautiful fruit basket. I enjoyed the singing of Christmas carols so much and enjoyed seeing the smiling faces of our youth. We have a good group of thoughtful young people. I appreciate all of you thinking of me. I miss you and I love you. Natalie Grisham. We have another one. Beach Hill, thank you all so much for the care package filled with cards and goodies. I enjoyed reading every note and appreciate everyone's love and thoughtfulness toward me during the holidays. I'm so blessed to call Beach Hill my home. Love, Abby Simmons. We had an email from James Dees out west. I want to thank the whole congregation of Beach Hill for the awesome Christmas care package y'all sent me. The gifts and cards were a wonderful reminder of how much everyone cares about me. It's hard to express in words how it feels to know that I haven't been forgotten by you all. I hope everyone has had an amazing Christmas, and I pray you all have a wonderful year to come. Thanks for keeping me in your thoughts and prayers. I look forward to seeing you all when I come visit again. May Christ be with you all this new year. James Dees. Mr. Andrew Carter had a note. Thank you for the delicious Christmas fruit basket and to all who came and sang the beautiful Christmas carols. Your visit made my day very special. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all. Andrew Carter. There are copies of the new shower groups and food groups posted on the bulletin boards on the east and west halls. Ladies, please take a look at that. And that was sent out, I think, also by our Remind, but see which group you're in. We also sorrow in the passing of Brother Ted Lindgren on the 20th of December. He was 83 years of age. His wife, Karen, and he had served as missionaries in Southeast Asia since 1969. She passed away in 2004. Continuing in that gospel work until his death, Ted focused his efforts on Laos, Cambodia, and the Philippines. For many years, the Beach Hill Church helped to support his work. So let's remember the Lindgren family. Babies, babies, babies. Ellie Audrey Grady, born Tuesday, weighing 7 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 inches long. Proud parents, Graydon and Brooke Grady. Proud Beach Hill grandparents, Mo and Joyce Grady. Congratulations. But not to be outdone, Cal Guyton Simpson, born on Christmas Day in Franklin, Tennessee, weighing 10 pounds, 2 ounces. Proud parents, Jacob and Abby Simpson. proud Beach Hill grandparents, Bob and Ginger Simpson. So we have a new year coming up, and we look forward to new additions. As we are told that we have the blessings of new ones to come. We'd like to remind those partaking in the worship service this evening, Will Simpson will direct the singing, Ken Simpson will have our opening prayer, and Winston Smith will have the closing prayer. This morning, our scripture reading will be by Mike Griffin. He'll also have our opening prayer, and our closing prayer will be by Dan Harrell. Brother King McCarver will deliver the message of the hour. Please take a psalm book and look at our screens as Dustin McMillan leads us in psalm.
Number 226. Sing all three verses, number 226.
Why did the Savior heavenly then come to earth below, where men his grace would not receive? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so. Why did the Savior mark the way? And why temptation know? Why teach and toil and plead and pray? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so. Why fill the garden dreadful dross? Why through his trials go? Why suffer death upon the cross? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so.
Number 730. We'll sing all three verses, number 730.
Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love, wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love. Though you are far away, wonderful story of love, still he doth call today. Calling from Calvary's mountain, down from the crystal bright fountain, Him from the dawn of creation. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful. 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 Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love. Jesus provides a rest. Wonderful story of love for all the pure and blessed. Rest in those mansions above us with those who've gone on before us. Singing the rapturous chorus, wonderful story of love, wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love.
Psalm before our scripture reading prayer this morning, it'd be number 790. Number 790.
Since the love of God is shed, priceless blessings on my head I have made it my own. I will hide it in my heart, that it never may depart. It shall rule there alone. The love of God within the heart will kindliness and warmth impart. The soul will glow like Jesus in his tender mercy. If the heart is made his dwelling place, the love of God glows like a flame. Eternally it is the same. The love of God will never fail nor lose its glory till we see him face to face. Since the Son of God came down with his love our lives to crown, he with us would remain. Greater love there could not be. Jesus died for you and me. In our hearts he would reign. The love of God within the heart will kindliness and warmth impart. The soul will glow like Jesus in his tender mercy. If the heart is made his dwelling place, the love of God glows like a flame. Eternally it is the same. The love of God will never fail nor lose its glory till we see him face to face. While his love burns true and bright, we are walking in the light. He has shown us the road. We his glory must reflect, lest our dimness and neglect keep some soul from its God. The love of God within the heart will kindliness and warmth impart. The soul will glow like Jesus in his tender mercy. If the heart is made his dwelling place, the love of God goes like a flame. Eternally it is the same. The love of God will never fail nor lose its glory till we see him face to face.
Scripture reading this morning will be coming from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is indescrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain a new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for being allowed to assemble here this morning on the first day of the week. We're so thankful for each and every blessing that you send us each and every day of our lives. We're so thankful for the blessing of your Son, for we know that without him, we would not have that hope of an eternal life. Heavenly Father, we know that we have many that are sick. We know that they need those that minister to them to give them the proper care so that they will be able to gain a full measure of health and be back once again. We're so thankful that Sister Sandra Wilkerson has been able to come back and she's here this morning. We're so thankful for her and for what she means to the church here. Heavenly Father, we know that we have lost many loved ones during this past year. We pray for all these families. We want to pray for the Hill family, for the Smith family. We want to pray for them and their loss. Pray that you will be with them and comfort them and strengthen them in the upcoming days, weeks, and months. Heavenly Father, we were so thankful to hear that of those who were born this past week, so thankful for Ellie Audrey, so thankful for her and her family, Brooke and Graydon, thankful for her sisters. We know that she will grow up and be a wonderful Christian in your kingdom. Heavenly Father, we also want to pray for Cal Guyton that was born. We pray for him and Abby and Jacob. Pray for the grandparents, for their brothers. We know that he will also grow up in a loving Christian family. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the church that is established here at Beach Hill. Thankful for each and every one that attends. We're so thankful for the talented people that we have who teach class each and every week, those that serve in each capacity. We want at this time pray for our shepherds, pray that they will use your word to guide us and keep us on that straight and narrow path. Also pray for each and every deacon in the work that they do in the congregation. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for King as he comes before us in just a few moments to deliver a lesson from thy word. Pray that you will give him a clear memory of the things that he has prepared because we know that he has studied. Heavenly Father, please be with him and pray that he might bring a lesson that might touch someone's heart and they might respond to the gospel. Heavenly Father, we also want to pray for Winston and Mallory as they work with our youth here. Pray for them in those things that they do to keep them involved in the gospel. So thankful for each and every one. Heavenly Father, we're also mindful of our brother Ted Lindgren, who passed away, one of our missionaries. He gave up his life here in the United States and lived in a country where he did not have many comforts of home, but yet he did this willingly and to help spread the gospel. We want to continue to pray for his family also. Heavenly Father, we know that we often sin. We pray that at this time, as we repent of these sins, that we will be forgiven. Heavenly Father, we pray that in the upcoming year, 2022, that we will try to live our lives in a better way, be a better example, so that we might be that shining light to draw those who are in the world to Christ. Heavenly Father, be with us. Guide, guard, and protect us. Please bring us back at the 5 p.m. hour. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Song for a lesson this morning, number 840. Number 840. We'll sing the first and last verses.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, in eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Would mark in your songbooks number 510, number 510.
Thank you, Dustin. Appreciate these songs that have led us to think about the love of God and the love of Christ. Even this last song that emphasized the promises that we have that gives strength and stability in the Word of God and in the life of fellowship with God and solidarity in our fellowship in that life. The whole Bible is designed to lead us to faith in God and to live by that faith. The Bible is the book of God to lead us in the life of faith in God. It gives us many examples of that life to answer the question, what does such a life look like? How is it lived? How does it appear to those who share that faith, if they may learn from such good examples? And how does it appear to the world of people who have yet to come to this life of faith in God? Beginning with Adam and Eve and all through the Bible, we read of how God has so acted and so spoken and left us a record of his acts and his words that we might trust in him and live that life of faith in God. One such example is Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 12, we read about how God led Abraham to faith and led him in the life of faith. And I draw your attention to these words at the beginning of the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and him that curseth thee will I curse, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so we see here something about which we just sang, the promises of God. And here are these promises to Abram, who would later be known as Abraham. And then the response, verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had spoken to him. He went, but he went as the Lord had spoken to him. Here the emphasis then upon the word of God that elicited from Abram a response of faith. He went as the Lord had spoken to him, trusting in the Lord's direction for his life. He obeyed. Stephen, in his speech recorded in Acts, the 7th chapter, made reference to this call of Abram. And he said that it occurred in Mesopotamia. It occurred before Abram lived in Haran, or Haran, as it is sometimes pronounced. But it occurred when he lived in Ur of Chaldees. So that Genesis 12 ought to be read in that light. This is what the Lord had said to him. And so he came to Haran, or Haran. And then after his father passed away, he left there to finish the journey. And he went to the place the Lord showed him, which brought him into the land of Canaan. Acts chapter 7 and verses 2 through 4. And then we turn to the book of Hebrews and the 11th chapter. And this is presented to us about this model of faith concerning the example of Abraham. Hebrews 11 and verse 8, and this is the primary text for our study together this morning. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out into a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Why did Abraham make that move? Because God called him. The word of God came to him. God called him. And what call did he issue? A call for a change of life, a call that was to be obeyed immediately, because the call came to Abraham at the time that it was to be obeyed, when something new was to commence in the life of Abraham and the purpose and the work of God, not only for the blessing of himself and his family and his descendants, but for all the world. In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham began that journey. It was a response of faith and obedience. By faith, Abraham obeyed, we're told. And thus we have the beginning of a portrait here that is intended, like others in this chapter, to be a model by which we learn about the life of faith in God. It's a response that begins with faith and obedience, and it continues in faith and obedience in response to the word of God. When Abram received this call in Ur of Chaldees, he began a journey that took him through the lands that were later called the Fertile Crescent because of the shape they take. When you look at them upon a map, it would mean that he left lower Mesopotamia, then in the region where the Tigris and Euphrates rivers are close together before they enter into the Persian Gulf, and he traveled northward along the route of civilizations. The civilizations of the Sumerians, even before Abraham, were there. Then later the Akkadians, and the early Babylonians, then the Assyrians, and then the later Babylonians, and the Hittites, and other kingdoms. And he traveled northward and eventually began to curve toward the west. And then he came down through what was later Syria, and eventually into Canaan, or Palestine, or Israel. All of that region is called the Fertile Crescent because of the fertile soils and the rains and the many waters to be found there. Surrounding those lands are regions that are not near as habitable and not conducive for the development of civilizations. But he traveled through that country and he kept moving because he had not yet come to the place that God would show him. And eventually he came there and God said, "This is it." And there Abraham was to live, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. as he portrays for us this model of faith, notice the things that he emphasizes here in this text in Hebrews 11, that Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. There is no indication whatsoever that at any point Abram asked God, could you not at least give me some more information about this? Could you not tell me where I'm eventually going to end up and what's going to happen to me and my family in that place? There's no indication whatsoever that Abraham expressed those conditions before he would trust in God and obey him. The record simply says he went. In Genesis 12, Acts 7, and Hebrews 11, he by faith obeyed. He trusted what God said, and he did exactly what God told him to do. Second, he became something. He became a sojourner. In Ur of Chaldees, he was a citizen. In Haran, he was well established, where he dwelled till his father Terah died. He accumulated further wealth than the city of Haran, but he didn't stay there. He moved on because he had not yet come to the place where God wanted him to be. And when he got there, he did not own property. And with all of his wealth, he did not build houses. He lived as a sojourner, dwelling in tents with Isaac, his son, and Jacob, his grandson. He became what God wanted him to be. A land promised to him, but in a land that was not his own. It was his in the sense that God protected him as he promised and watched over him. I will bless you, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will bring a curse upon those who curse you. And so in that place, Abraham could live in confidence and security because of the promises of God. So the land was his in that sense because it was God's land. But in reality, it would be given to his descendants. And Abraham, their forefather, lived there in tents as a sojourner. He became what God wanted him to be. And then third, he looked. He looked for a city. That city he would never find in the land of Canaan, the land of promise. The city he was looking for is a city that one cannot reach until he leaves this world. As God's sojourner leaves this world and goes to where God has prepared a city. Observe in verses 13 and following that concerning Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their families, these all died in faith, in this faith in God, this life of believing in and obeying God, going where God says to go, becoming what God says to become, and looking for what God said to look for. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, that is by the word and the promise of God, and confessing that on this earth they are strangers and pilgrims. They who say such things, that is about themselves, and you can read the record in Genesis and hear their words that express this very confession. We're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Those who say such things are voicing what it means to live by faith in God. And they're looking for a place, yes. They're looking for a country of their own. And if they'd had in mind, the writer says, the country from which they went out, they could have gone there, but they didn't do so because they trusted God and they obeyed God. And they continue to be sojourners and pilgrims in this world, wherever they live. In Canaan or in Egypt, they were God's pilgrims in this world. And then the writer says about them by way of commendation that thrills the heart to think about God's approval of his people who live this way. God's not ashamed of them to be called their God. How many times did God say of self-identification, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God's not ashamed of them to be identified with those men of faith. for he has prepared for them a city. The life of faith begins in a right response to God's will. When Peter proclaimed the gospel on Pentecost Day, you remember that he spoke about God's call? We've heard about how God called Abraham in Hebrews 11, verse 8. And when Peter preached the gospel that day, and the people heard about Jesus Christ, the crucified, raised from the dead, and Lord in Christ at God's right hand, they were convicted in their hearts, and they said, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for to you is the call, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call to him." When you hear the gospel preached, and you wonder about how God wants you to respond to that, you learn that through the preaching of the gospel, God is calling you. He's calling you just as much as he called Abraham that day in Ur of Chaldees. And those people on Pentecost responded as Abraham did. They believed God's word. They obeyed him. They then received his word, were baptized, and they were added to them that day about 3,000 souls. They were added to the company of people who believe in God and live by his word. And they entered into the life of faith in God. And what is that life? What does it look like? Abraham is a model of it. It's a life of going in life where God leads us, becoming what God wants us to become, and trusting him and looking for what he's promised us. That is the life of faith in God through Jesus Christ. God is not going to tell you where your life will go as a Christian, but he will tell you that he'll be with you. And he will be with you all the way through that. And he will care for you and bless you in Christ all the way to the end of the journey of your life. Don't try to make conditions for your faith. That's not faith in God. Don't say to God, "I've got to know more about this now before I make a start." And don't bring conditions before God. "I don't know if I can do this or not." Trust in God, and God will help you and lead you and bless you and enable you to live this life, to make this journey. And it's a life of becoming. You must entrust your life to God. And as he leads you on this journey, let him make of you what he would make of you. "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Trust in God. Follow his directions. Let him change your life. And what he makes of you, you will come to realize is something that only God could do through Christ. You can't do that for yourself. The world cannot do it for you. Only God can do that. And it's a life of looking. The joyful anticipation of eternal blessings, so that one may live not in the fear of death and judgment, but in the expectation of God's gracious appearance and the blessings of everlasting life with him. Going on a journey, becoming what God will make of you, and looking for the end of that journey in the beginning of everlasting life. This is the life of faith in God. And we invite you to enter into that life as we stand and sing.
All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Be seated, please. This morning, before partaking of the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 782. Number 782. We'll sing all four verses and sing the refrain only after the fourth verse.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast slain. Tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded me whilst thou slept. Let me like Mary through the gloom come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee. Even thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.
In Luke chapter 22, we're told the plot of Jesus Christ and how Christ institutes the Lord's Supper. In 22, verse 14, we read, "When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's give thanks for the bread of life. Heavenly Father, as we partake of the bread, we pray that we do so thinking back to the cross, what it means to each and every one of us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for that great sacrifice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now let's give thanks for the sacrifice and the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. Heavenly Father, as we partake of the cup, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we cannot imagine the shame and the suffering and the torture that our Lord and Savior went through on our behalf. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we partake of this, we do so in a manner that is worthy unto thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful for how we're blessed. We're blessed in so many ways. You give us so much. You provide for us. We have so many things that we're thankful for. Dear God, may we never take this for granted. Pray now, Heavenly Father, that as we give back, we do so with a cheerful heart. We do so pleasing unto thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Again, we'd like to thank you for being here with us this morning. Again, those of you that are visiting, please come back and be with us in any and every opportunity that you have. We'll meet again here tonight at 5 o'clock for our Sunday evening worship service. If you would, please stand. Our closing song this morning will be "A Common Love."
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word.
That's fine. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this morning. We're so thankful to have been here, to have been in this worship service this morning. We're thankful for these men that have led us so well. We're thankful for the good lesson that Brother McCarver presented this morning. We pray that we'll apply that lesson to our lives, that we'll leave here strengthened and encouraged and to be back here this evening and on down through future walks of life. As was mentioned in the announcements, there's a lot of our friends and our family that are suffering this time because of health issues, and we ask that your healing hand be upon them, and we pray that better days lie ahead for them. Continue to comfort those who have recently lost loved ones. Be with us and help us to always to be faithful in your service. And also, Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died for us. Go with us now as we're about to depart from this place. Bring us back here this evening. Forgive us of all of our sins, for this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.